Hey, good morning, everybody. It is July 7th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Everything we do is over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. We're going to archive this podcast we're going to do today over there, and you can see our magazine, which is absolutely great, our online journal, which is called Equity in Access. You can join with us, make your voice heard. We always want educator voice in there, industry voice, etc. Again, everything's over at ace-ed.org. As my guest well knows, Dr. Desi Bowling is here. Desi is from the Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op it's an ESA in Eastern Kentucky. Desi, good morning. Larry here. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing very good, Larry. And how are you?
I am fine, thank you very much. And how was your July 4th weekend?
Well, we had a good weekend. Didn't do good. Much. Just kind of stuck close to home and went to church.
Yep, yep.
A great weekend.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. That's excellent. We kind of did the same stuff here. It was really nice. A little rainy here, but it actually made for a good weekend because we weren't planning on doing much anyway, so we stayed in and watched movies, which was pretty good. A good excuse to stay in and watch movies. What do you think?
Well, it's been hot here, so we've had really great weather, and it's been extremely warm, and so it was a great 4th. We had fireworks in my hometown of Hyden on Friday night, and then fireworks here in Hazard on Saturday night. So then we had some fireworks at home. So
great, perfect, and everybody's safe from the fireworks and all that sort of thing. Hazard, Kentucky. Tell everybody. I just want to do this. You're the Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op. You're in Eastern Kentucky. And we've done many, many shows, and we know each other well, but just tell the new listeners about where you are, okay? Not only geographically in Eastern Kentucky, but what it's like with the hollers. You know, we all hear these words, but tell everybody, give us a good picture of it.
Well, yes, we are. We're located here in far Eastern Kentucky, and I think said before that when people think about Kentucky, they think about the Kentucky Derby and bluegrass, and you won't find that here where we're located in Eastern Kentucky. You're going to find beautiful mountains. You're going to find lots of things to do outdoor, and you're going to find good people. And
yes, you are.
We have 25 school districts, and we border on Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, and Ohio.
How far are you
and
from each of those?
Small,
wait a minute, I'm going to ask, how far are you from Ohio? How far are you from Ohio?
Well, located here in Hazard, now we are about 2.5 hours away. But our school system our closest school district to Ohio is just across the river in Ashland.
Across the border, there you go.
So you're
bordering Tennessee, West Virginia. Well, you're not bordering Tennessee, though, are you? You are? You guys?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have a school district, Middlesboro Independent, and just probably 10 miles up the road is Harrogate, Tennessee.
Wow. It's a part of the world that I'm not familiar with geographically. Okay, and of course I know all about you guys have told me, your newsletter, your website is called The Holler, like a Kentucky Holler, which by the way is a one way in, same way out valley. I learned that talking to Desi after all these years. Okay, it's the definition of a holler. It's not a valley, one way in, one way out. Okay, and you deal with the 25 school districts as an ESA, all right, and you're serving a lot of students. And just give people a picture of, and I know you and I have talked many times, what was it like during the pandemic? Because I'm going to lead up to something here. Yeah, which is now I hope done.
Well, I think that for us, when schools closed in March, nobody expected them to be closed, too long, a year ago that March. So our cooperative, we have been in business now here for over 50 years.
ESA, Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op, everybody. Go ahead.
And Yeah, and we focus, we're really all about the kids and the educators because it's here where we're at. You know, you really want to do everything you can to lift people up, and we want people to stay here and to be able to work here. And our staff, we're all educators, and so we really love going into the schools and working with the people in the schools. And so when COVID happened, you know, it was a real roadblock for us. But like my good friend and your good friend too, Dr. Jeff Hawken, always
we got to
look ahead and see what's around the next curve in the road. So here at KVEC, that's what we've been doing for a long time. And so I think when COVID hit, what we did, we came together then to talk about the challenges that that could create. And then when it, you know, schools really did close and go to that virtual environment, that was what we came together then to look at all those challenges that a virtual learning environment could impose for our rural school district. And probably one of the main ones was having that digital divide, because I think people living in rural America, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, always known for years that internet access and broadband access is just not as robust as what it needs to be, and that limits opportunities for kids and for educators. So when we could go in and do things or bring these kids to us, then, you know, there was lots of opportunities. And I think that that the pandemic really did pull back the veil and just exposed that digital divide as a reality. And I think and the reality was that rural America here in Hazard, Kentucky, and all across the nation, rural America has kind of been left behind, I think, and out of the discussion.
That's right.
To have a really strong internet and broadband access so that rural kids could excel in a global economy and have that same equity whenever we're talking about equity and access.
Yeah.
You know, rural kids need that as well. So
And you know, not to get political, I don't mean to get political here, but like but what struck me, okay, with the infrastructure bill, I would think every congressperson would have jumped on that, okay, and supported it. And I know there's a Republican Democratic divide, but some things we got to forget about that, okay? Because and the example I'm thinking of course, Senator McConnell's from Kentucky, okay? But there's so many people in Kentucky who need better internet, okay? And they jump on this stuff. Again, I don't mean to get political, although it is a political question, okay? But we've just got to understand there's some things that transcend politics. And, you know, you said a couple of things, Dusty, that really struck me, okay? First thing is, you know, you said that you've got great people there and you want them to stay there. And a lot of people think that the goal of a rural school is to make sure the kids get the hell out and go to the big city. Okay, but that's not the goal. Okay, the goal is to try to the goal is to educate the kids, but hopefully, or we're going to lose our rural areas. They can't all go to the big city, which brings up point two, where the workforce is changing. All right, and a lot of people are going to be able to work at home. Okay, as opposed to commuting to a Louisville or Boston up here or Portland, whatever the case may be. All right, but if you don't have good internet at home. Okay, with this changing workforce, you're not going to be able to develop that area and say you can stay here and be the vice president of a major company. You don't have to go into the office. Stay here in Hazard. But if the internet's not strong, you can't do it. Okay, and
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So I mean, but we don't want people to leave. Well, your area is great. My area is great up here in slightly less rural Maine. Okay, but it is rural up here. Okay, we're about 45 minutes from Portland. All right, and you want people to stay and the place to thrive, but you have to have all this infrastructure to make it work. That was my speech for today, Desi.
Oh no, and I think you're exactly right. And what we try to do here. And all of our staff, and I think the majority of people here where we're at, you know, we are not political. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We're Americans. And we want our kids to, and whenever we're thinking about rural America, we want all kids to excel. And you have some beautiful areas. You know, we've been to Maine, and we've made friends with some people at Snow Pond. So, but that's for another story.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right, and I think that that's what
you got a friend.
You know,
Jesse, you got a friend in Cornish, Maine, too. If you didn't know that.
Okay.
I think you do.
But we came together, like I said, and we were really focused on what we could do, and our staff didn't go home, and we didn't work remotely.
Yeah.
So, we really looked at and luckily, like what you said, we had our learning management platform, the Holler, and now we had been populating the Holler with innovative practices. We have exceptional teachers here, and so we've been really populating that over the past 6 years. We had lots of resources that were available online, and then as we've moved forward, we've continued that. And so we kind of had that place for educators and for students to go to for learning resources, or just for the pandemic itself. And we continue to meet with teachers through Zoom, but like what you said, when you got out to these hollers and there was limited access, and then not every student had a device, and not only that, but whenever you've got, let's say you've got three students at home who are all needing to get on the internet for learning, and you've got a mom or a dad who are working from home too, that really takes the gigabytes. So what we did, we knew this being here, but see, our Department of Education is more in the central part of the state, and in flat country is what we call it. So, so what we did, though, I will say this, what we did, we hosted online forums with educators and with community business leaders. And we wanted to get these partnerships so that they could assist families then with getting access to internet services, and that could include hotspots or some of these internet providers not charging a fee to families because they couldn't afford to enter into a long-term.
That's right.
And if they could have afforded it, they would have had it anyway. And so, it was all about equity and access for all learners, and that included the learners right here in our region as well.
So that's
what we did.
Yeah, and it's you guys are always doing an amazing job. You know, I'm curious, you work with, I think, 25 school districts. This is KVEC,
mm-hmm.
Kentucky Valley Ed Co-op, okay? Some of them are up, like you said it before, some of them are up by Ohio, others are down by Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
if I may. Okay, that's, they're spread out. How many square miles are
that's
we talking about? Do you know offhand? How many square miles are we talking about? Make up a number.
We are bigger. Whenever you look at square miles, we have a footprint that's larger than the state of Connecticut. So
that sets it down. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's I thought you were going to say Rhode Island, so you went to Connecticut. That was pretty good. I like that. Okay. Or Delaware. You went to Connecticut.
About 60,000 students. And probably 4,000 teachers.
But considering the size of your footprint, not your feet. I know your feet are dainty, Desi. I mean the KVAC footprint. When you look at the size of the footprint, there must be different needs from each of these districts. All right, or maybe not. I mean, you can answer that. But how do you accommodate, if there are different needs, those different needs? How do you look at it and balance all that amongst 25 school districts? I mean, I assume some of them have absolutely excellent internet, and some of them don't. So on that thing, just talk about that for a second, that balancing act you guys have to do. Because there's budget involved.
You can only do so much.
So...
That's a good point. And what we try to do is to give them what they need. I mean, what's going to help them? Because whenever you take, and even in our largest county that we serve, which is Pike County, Kentucky, you have the city of Pikeville, and that, you know, there, it's a wealthy city. But you also have those outlying places like Phelps, which is in Pike County. You have East Ridge, which is in Pike County and very close, right on the border of Grundy, Virginia. And so these areas that are out in Pike County, they have very little resources. They have there's no tax base because there's nothing there. There's no kind of business there. And the internet service is very limited, to say the least, in some of these areas. But right in Pikeville, Kentucky, you have the Pikeville Medical Center, which is associated with Mayo Clinic. You have Pikeville University, the University of Pikeville. Now it used to be Pikeville College. But the University of Pikeville, you have, if somebody come to Pikeville, Pikeville, the city of Pikeville, you would think that the whole county was wealthy, but it is not. And so what we try to do is to, it's a very interesting thing. And whenever you, and people that come there, you know, there's a huge expo center where they bring in musical acts and all kinds of businesses, to where those schools that are located right there, the city school, and in particular with Pikeville Independent, you know, there's a tax base there, and so then, you know, they're able to afford more for their students, and they have great internet access and stuff. So whenever we do a needs assessment for our students and our staff, then we kind of, you know, try to help them with anything that supports, just so that they can compete as well.
Yep.
But and so we have, but and that's just a, you know, that's one example. But the majority now of all of these districts are, and the schools are really rural, they're small, and with limited resources.
Yeah, and it's a hard time these days. I mean, everything's controversial these days. Everything's nuts. We learn so much. What do you think's going to happen? You know, everybody's saying, let's get back to normal. Okay, and I think you and I are probably on the same boat here. The heck with normal, there's a new normal. Okay, we must learned something from the pandemic, and we don't want to go back to the way it was. Okay, now, I got to say this, not that the way it was so horrible, okay, but we learned a lot from the pandemic, okay, and we found out what we really needed, and we got to make these changes for the better. Okay, so there's a new normal, if I may. As you talk to the 25 school districts, what are they saying? What do they want to do starting next year? How's it changing for them, if at all? I hope it is.
Well, and many of ours are going back in person. You know, they're not wanting to do virtual. But whenever we think about that, and what we say is that I don't think that we can ever go back pre-COVID. I think that COVID revealed a lot of areas of inequity that rural America has faced for years, but nobody's seen it. You know, it did get exposed now, I think, through that. And there was lots of discussions around that then. And so internet and broadband connectivity, that was a major topic. And then transportation issues and resources, because you know, we have kids on the bus in some of these areas for 2 hours. You know, they get picked up. I was leaving my house one morning at 7 a.m., and there was a school bus picking up kids, and I live a half a mile from the city limits, and so probably 10 miles from the school, but yet because of these long bus runs, so they have to make those. But I think that, you know, what we did too, we sat down, and like I said, we brought people together, and we did interviews with school leaders and with our Department of Education, looking at kids who, the access and that they had to broadband. And so then we, like I said, we were able to pull some business leaders together and put hotspots in places. And so for us, and I think that that helped us. And we have made tremendous progress with technology-driven instruction over these past 18 months. And I think that a lot of people in our school system want to build on that. So whenever you have that, the power of technology, that can combine that with an evidence-based curriculum, we can really do better for our students. And I think that for KBIC, quote, whenever I was talking about bringing kids in, we do a lot with our holler as far as doing animation and robotics.
Yeah, you mean holler.org. Holler.org,
yeah.
Your kind of newsletter. If I mean. Yeah. Not the physical holler.
Yeah.
The one online. Yeah, just wanted to make sure everybody understood that. You know, again, you brought up something really cool, all right? The business community. And it goes back to what I was saying before. Let me say it this way in a horribly unfunny way. Eastern Kentucky should not die, okay, if I may. Mm-hmm. All right? It was so dependent, and it thrived on coal for many, many years. That's changing. Mm-hmm. We all kind of know that, okay? Whether we want to admit it or not, we all kind of know that, okay? And the business community, and this is something that always bugs me, okay, and especially the big companies, okay, have to get involved. They've got so much money. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they can. So many people have so much money. Jeff Bezos is like a half of Africa. The GNP is what he's doing.
I know.
And actually more like half of Europe, not half of Africa. All right. And my point is, down in your area, the business community, they need a workforce. If people are going to stay, they need a workforce. You need all this stuff. Do they press Frankfurt and understand how they have to help the schools? Okay, that sort of thing. And on that same thing, does Frankfurt understand, Kentucky, your capital, do they understand your needs and what you need? It's different from what they need in Louisville. Okay? It's different.
And and they don't understand it until we tell them. And so that's one of the reasons that for – yeah, we do. And what we do, we take our kids and we set up each year at the Capitol during their legislative session. And we take for the past 6 years, right up until this last one when we couldn't go, we took about 300 kids, groups of kids who were doing – innovative projects in their schools. We set those kids up around that rotunda in the Capitol and where the legislative sessions were going on, and we showed these legislators the good work that kids were doing. And I can give you some examples. We have with kids, and these kids are taking plastic milk jugs and kudzu vines. They're making 3D printer filament, and they're working with medical communities to make devices.
Wow.
We have kids who are working on water quality. We have kids who are building tiny homes, and we have sold these tiny homes. So, and I talked to you about my tiny house project, but we now have tiny student designed and built tiny homes in Appalachia, Kentucky, right here. And we have homes from Pismo Beach, California, to Williamsburg, Virginia, at Fort Eustis, Virginia. So kids who they're finding their passion, whether it be, you know, the hands-on doing the carpentry and the electrician, the HVAC, and then kids who are doing the physics, the chemistry, and the whole gamut there. So we take our kids and we show these legislators what can be done, and that's we celebrate. It's not about being looking at what we don't have, but let's look at what we do have, and let's build on that, and let's build up our rural region here in Eastern Kentucky. And so we have kids who are flying drones, who are building drones, and one of the things that I think that we need to really focus on, and that's what we've done here, is to look at drone repair because we don't hear about that. But these drones, they crash, somebody's got to repair them. So that's one area that we can look at as well, and how to use those.
And let me ask, when you do this, and if here's just a suggestion if you're not doing it, I would take your Chamber of Commerce with you down to Frankfurt and say, if we don't keep this up to these legislators, okay, who most of them have the brains of fleas, I can say that, you can't, okay? But what they need, okay, to understand that it's not just, it's by educating the kids, you are building the economy of a region, okay? It doesn't just stop at K-12, okay? It's a lifetime's worth of work. It's an economic lifeline. And we're talking Kentucky here today. I don't mean to come down on Kentucky. It's every damn state, okay? The legislators have to understand why we educate people. Okay, and how this impacts everything. And if they don't understand that, okay, which, you know, some of them are such short-term thinkers, I'm generalizing here, okay? But you got to make this point, not you, the generic you. You know, we have to make this point to these guys and ladies, I might add, okay? It's that simple. You guys do such good work down there. So what's the big change for next year? Is there one? Next semester?
Well, and you
with
are
Captain
exactly
Desi
right.
in charge. Captain
America.
Desi and Captain Jerry in charge. What's going on? What are you guys doing on the ship there?
Well, like I said earlier, now we've come a long way and we've learned a whole lot during this past 18 months. And then now, as we look ahead, we know that we've got to have a safe, secure learning environment for students and for our adults. And to come back to, and we've also got to have students who are actively engaged in their learning. We've got to do that. And you know, when I think that here and as well, we talk about social-emotional issues, and so we know that in-person instruction is where we need to get to post-pandemic. And we know also that I think that after 18 months spent mostly online, that there's going to be a transition period these kids come back and when teachers come back. And we've got to take some time now to get to know and understand our students and where they're at, both academically and socially. And
that's
I think
exactly
as we
right.
think about equity for our rural school districts, we know, I mean, and it's obvious that we know that there were students out there that did not receive equitable learning opportunities simply because of internet issues and spotty cell phone services. And we know here in our rural area, and I'm sure that it's like that in rural America, all over the nation, that because our rural schools and our rural areas are so spread out that teachers were not able to make home visits to check on students. And so, you know, a lot of these students But there was no opportunities for them to come into school, so we've got some work to do as we start. And so our KBEC staff, what we've done, we have just really intentionally spent some time on building a service menu that's focused on this whole child, and then looking at how we can help educators as they meet the needs of these students. So again, the pandemic was a big curve in the road, and we've looked at that. And so, and in fact, I think the mandate here for Kentucky, one of the things, and for our schools across the nation, was one, getting kids back to in-person instruction and having them actively engaged, and then two, making sure that there's a safe, secure learning environment, and then, as you well know, that in your areas, well,
where
I'm sure in rural America, that one of the things that there's just a lack of funding. And so rural communities, we've suffered for a long time for inequitable funding. And like we talked about earlier, with low property taxes and then lack of businesses taxes. But our school leaders have been given the charge to get these kids back. And so we want to accelerate learning and get kids caught up and then really surpass where they're at pre-pandemic. And then with the federal government, they through that American Rescue Plan, they've included money in their ESSER funding. And so as a cooperative, what we've done, we've come together and we're working with districts right now, helping them to develop a professional learning and accelerated learning support. Look, and whenever we talk about equity, our plan has to be based on a needs assessment of that specific district. And so we're working with local agencies to partner and help us help schools then provide those high-quality professional learning experiences for teachers that will really impact student learning. Because going back to the ESSER funds, the American Rescue Plan, with that money, school districts have to develop this plan on getting kids back safely in school,
yes.
And they have to publish that plan on their website within 30 days of receiving these allocated funds. And so
yep.
It's going to be up there, this plan, for all of these school communities to see. And so, and as we think about the virtual learning, you know, that can be a benefit then through for small rural communities. Yeah.
Without question. Do you know there's so many dollars coming through? Do you know about this emergency connectivity mm-hmm. fund? You know about that?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Not the American Rescue Plan, the Emergency Connectivity Fund.
Well, what is that?
Well, you're going to look it up, okay? You Google that, okay? I'm serious. I'm going to send you the show mm-hmm. I did on it, okay, last week with our good friends from Funds for Learning, okay, the E-Rate consultants, all right? And this is new dollars, but they only have, a 30-day window, maybe a 45-day window, okay, that's open now to apply for the funds. Okay, but the funds are there to guarantee that every district can get every student internet access. It's a specialized fund of $7 billion. How about that?
$7 billion
gift from Larry to Desi.
Okay,
there you go.
And you know, we can need it, and I think that what they need to understand is that there might be internet, and what they're doing, you know, they bring the internet to the center of town, but then these service providers are the ones who get it out up into these haulers. And so what we need I'm going to look this up and then talk with person from the Department of Education who comes to our co-op meetings each month, and so and he is over, works with the technology, but I think that's great. We've got to get high quality internet service.
Absolutely, I'm going to send you the show. I'm going to send you the link to the show I did last week with Brian from Funds for Learning. But this is new dollars, and there's a short open window to apply.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. I just gave you a homework assignment.
Well, and I'm going to happily look that one up. No, and
okay.
That will be great.
Good.
Yes.
It's different mm-hmm. money. It's different money, okay? And, of course, from the FCC, it's for everybody, not just DESE, okay? You're just in competition mm-hmm. with DESE, everybody, all right? But there's plenty of dollars out there, okay? So don't let them go. It's a show I did last week. It's archived at ace-ed.org, and it's the Emergency Connectivity Fund. Desi's going to get the link so she can listen to it easy. Okay, everybody else can go over to ace-ed.org. Desi, we got to go. Thank you. Are you having a good summer? Are you working? Are you working? Are you off? What's going on?
Oh, yes. Worked all summer, absolutely. So, you know, we've got to get things in place, and when there's a job to be done, we've got to do it. So, but I love what I do, and I often tell my students and whenever I'm out working with them that if you've got a job you love, you never spend one day working.
I know it because I know you so well. You love what you guys do, and KVEC is just one of the – best ESAs out there, I got to tell you. So thank you for sharing your experiences, Desi, okay? And look for the thing I'm going to send you, and have a great day. What can I say? I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Desi. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Everybody, Desi Bowling, and what she was referring to was their wonderful online, I'll call it a newsletter, but it's their website, The Holler, HOLLER.org. The Holler www.hollersvalley.org. There are physical hollers, these one-way in, same way in, same way out valleys, okay? But this is what they call their newsletter of information and ideas at KVEC, okay? And we'll archive, where we archive everything else, over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.